Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Come on, church, let's give God some praise. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment. Thank you, Jesus, for these amazing people. Please, please take your seats. Take your seats. Thank you, amazing worship team. Awesome. Felt the presence come upon us this morning in a powerful, mighty way. Way to set me up. In a good way. I just want to take a second. I love our pastors, Pastor Jurgen and Leanne. I'm so honored and privileged to be here with you this morning, and I want to thank them for creating this platform, which I'm about to speak from. You know, it's because of their sacrifice, it's because of their courage and strength that we're all here today, and I want to give them honor too because of what they've done. And Pastor John and Becky, happy birthday, Becky. So glad that we get to be up here and share on your birthday. And thank you for giving me and us the opportunity to step up, to rise up to our calling. We so appreciate. I want to thank my parents for raising me in the way that a child should go. And in Jesus' name, I haven't departed from it. And to my lovely wife, I couldn't do this life without you. I love you, babe. And thank you for always being my encouragement, always pushing me to do better, because I need that, and encouraging me to succeed and strive. A couple weeks ago, I let my Connect group know that I was going to be preaching, and a gentleman in my Connect group, amazing man sitting right here, Ricky McKay, prayed for me, and God dropped this word on my spirit. You know, it's not lost on me the fact that today is the eve of 9/11, and I was thinking about that, and God just showed me that the best thing that I could do to honor them would actually be to highlight not the circumstance so much, but the heroes that rose up in the middle of it. There's countless stories, there's countless testimonies of people that stepped up in the face of the most trying time in their life, the most difficult situation they could ever imagine, but somehow, some way, they stepped up and did something amazing. And I actually wanted to share one story from 9/11. Just a few minutes after United Airlines Flight 175 struck the South Tower of the World Trade Center, 24-year-old equities trader Wellis Crowther, who was a volunteer firefighter in his teens, made his way down to the 78th floor sky lobby and became a hero to strangers known only as the man in the red bandana. Amid the smoke, chaos, and debris, Crowther helped injured and disoriented office workers to safety, risking his own life in the process. Though they couldn't see through much through the haze, those he saved recalled a tall figure wearing a red bandana to shield his lungs and mouth. Crowther directed survivors to the stairway and encouraged them to help others while he carried an injured woman on his back 15 floors down to safety. After bringing her, he made his way back up to help others. "Everyone who can stand, stand now," Crowther told survivors while directing them to a stairway exit. "If you can help others, do so." A survivor said, "He's definitely my guardian angel. No ifs, ands, or buts. Because without him, we would have been sitting there waiting until the building came down." Crowther is credited with saving at least a dozen people that day. His body was later recovered alongside firefighters in a stairwell heading back up the tower. Such a powerful story, a powerful testimony. And the Bible says that there's no greater love than this, than that someone lay down his life for another. This man did that on this day. Somehow, some way, he stepped up in the face of adversity. He actually relied on his training. He relied, but then on his instinct. You know, it went beyond just what he'd prepared for. It went into the current situation. He was able to draw from something in that moment that allowed him to help other people, to save other people, to give other people a chance to move on. And I think we all need to take a lesson for that. And I know that when I read this story and so many other stories, it came across my mind, you know, what would I do if I were in that situation? Would I be able to step up? Would I be able to rise to the challenge? You know, how would I react in that moment? Yeah. And I think, you know, what we need to remember is that a lot of times, like the people in these stories, a hero like this and so many others, if we're able to ask them after the fact, you know, what was it that made you step up? What was it that brought that thing on you to do that thing, to do this amazing feat? And I think that they would say, and often they do, I just did what I could. The situation arose and I just made the choice to do what I could. Now, a lot of times I think we might think, well, okay, you know, what are the chances that something that crazy is ever going to happen to me? You know, what are the odds that I would find myself in a situation that's life or death, where I would have to step up and do something or not? And that's a fair argument, but one thing you have to remember is that every one of us will face a handful of situations in life where we're going to be faced with the most challenging obstacle that we've ever seen. We're going to be tested to the core. And we have to derive the same courage, the same spirit that these heroes did in those situations as well. You know, we're gonna be faced with those situations, and we have to draw from something that's beyond ourselves. You see, the strength that it takes to stand up to a hurricane, the strength that it takes to stand up to towers falling, is the same strength that we need when we face trials like a diagnosis of cancer. You know, it's the same strength that we need to rise up when we lose a loved one. It's the same strength that we're going to have to rely on when we face the greatest trial of our life. So I want to share with you today some keys that I've found that will allow us to win in these situations. Not just survive, but succeed beyond the common measure. The title of this message is Defining Moments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you that you will speak through me, your servant, that these will be your words. This will be your spirit. This is your message for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to take a look at the screen. Cool. Defining moments. All right. Events. These are events that shape our character. Defining moments. They're a primary influence that will direct the course of our actions and lives in future situations. The Bible is actually just a series of defining moments that people have had. It tells stories of people of bravery, people that succeeded, people that rose up to the challenges in their life. Consider Esther. The fate of an entire people rested on her shoulders, what she created for such a time as this. Or Joshua. Joshua was the man after the man. You know, quick, real quick, who was the coach after John Wooden for the Bruins? We don't know. Who led the Continental Army after George Washington? I don't know. But it's really hard to be the man after the man. Joshua was called to step up and lead the people of Israel after Moses, arguably the greatest leader this nation had ever seen, bringing them out of slavery, bringing them into the promised land. But there was a problem. The promised land was occupied. And Joshua, the task fell to him to actually clear the land, to do the fighting. He still had battles to win. Would he be able to step up and handle this challenge? Or let's look at Peter. He was kind of bragging a little bit at the Last Supper. Jesus, I'm going to follow you no matter what, even to death. But we kind of know the story. When push came to shove, he denied Jesus three times. Would that be the end of Peter the Rock? Would he just revert to Simon the fisherman? We'll find out right after these messages. There's some valuable lessons that we can learn from each of these situations. And there's actually three phases of a defining moment: before the moment, in the moment, and after the moment. And I want to bring you some keys to help you succeed in each phase. And what you'll find actually is that success is compounding, meaning the better that you do in the early stages, the easier it will be as you move on. The first phase, preparation, before the moment. To start off here, I just want to encourage you to expect the unexpected. The Bible says that troubles will come. Now, this doesn't mean that we act like Chicken Little, running around, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. We just have to realize that there's going to be ups and downs in life. Right. We have to make a determination that doing nothing is not an option. And we have to do this before the fact, before we're in that pressure situation. John 16:33 says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. The troubles will come, but when we align ourselves with Jesus, we can draw on a peace. We can draw on a source of strength that goes beyond what we're capable of on our own. The world will default to chaos if left untended. Towers will fall. Hurricanes will come. There will be trials. The weeds just grow on their own. They don't need any help. You know, if you leave an area unpoliced, there will be crime. You know, so we have to take it upon ourselves as people who are going to do something about it. That when the situation comes up, we're not going to shrink back, but we're going to stand up and rise to the challenge. Any parent can tell you that a clean house can revert to chaos in the amount of time it takes to cook breakfast. Somehow, some way, those toys always find themselves out on the floor. So we have to make a conscious decision before the pressure is on, before the trial is there, that we are going to do something. I'll give you an example. Honey, no matter what they tell us, no matter what they promise us, we are not going to buy this timeshare. I'm going to give you a little bit about what not to do in preparation. Don't build a hole in the ground and stockpile supplies. You know why? Because that won't do you any good in a flood. Don't go out and build a boat expecting that's going to be your salvation, because that won't help you in a fire. It doesn't matter how strong you make the fortress, an earthquake can topple that thing in a moment. You can't prepare for every possible disaster in the natural. There's just too many options. There's too many possibilities. You'll drive yourself crazy. Can I be real for a second? There's no crisis action plan for cancer. You can't prepare in a physical way for the loss of a child. There's just too many things that can happen. So we have to be able to prepare in a way that supersedes the natural, that goes above and beyond. Esther, in the book named after her, chapter 4, 13 through 17, says, Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows, perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Esther found a way to prepare in the supernatural. Esther found a way to call on the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, to draw power that would enable her to move past this defining moment in her life with success. And for the record, she did. She went to the king. She saved the day for the people. And her name is written in this book for all eternity. You might be thinking, okay, that's great, like prayer and fasting. I know that's powerful. You know, especially when we have a season coming up, we know there's a trial coming up, then we can take some time, we can separate ourselves, we can press in. But what about the stuff that we can't plan for? What about those things that we don't know they're coming? They just come out of nowhere. Well, the Bible has us covered there too. In Ephesians 6, it tells us to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the schemes, the plans of the wicked one. You know, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the powers and the principalities over this world. We have to put on the helmet of salvation because we can't win a supernatural battle fighting on the natural plane. We put the gospel of peace on our feet because those that live by the sword die by the sword. We put on the breastplate of righteousness to guard our heart, and we put on the belt of truth to keep our pants up. Keeps us from looking like a fool. We take up the sword of the Spirit because this is the weapon of offense against the enemy to take down the plans that he has for us. And we lift up our shield of faith to guard ourselves and others from the attacks of the enemy. The second phase of the defining moment is the reaction when you're in the moment. Joshua 5:13-14. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you friend or foe?" "Neither one," he replied. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want your servant to do?" What strikes me about this story that's different from pretty much every other encounter in the Bible where somebody meets an angel of the Lord is that Joshua stands up unafraid. Everybody else bows down like cowers in fear. They can't even speak. They can't do anything. They can't move. But Joshua has a purpose on his heart. He has a calling. He has a mission by God to stand up and to raise up and to stand, lead these people in the army, in the battle that's before them. Joshua was ready for his big moment because he was unafraid. 2 Timothy 1 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind." What's interesting is Joshua came up to fight the battle of Jericho, is that God dropped a word in his spirit, "I don't want you to fight." Hang on a second. I've got the promised land before me. I've got an entire nation behind me. There's people that need to be kicked out, but you don't want me to fight? God says, "Don't fight. I want you to walk." So for 7 days, Joshua led the people of Israel in a big circle. 13 times they walked around the city. 13 times. And this is very important. God told Joshua, "I don't want anybody to say a word." Right. What? 13 times around a city, we're not supposed to say a word? Why? Because when you're walking for that long, when you have to exercise patience, it's really easy to start complaining. It's really easy to start doubting. It's really easy to start speaking words that will cut the legs out from underneath your miracle. You have to have that faith built up inside you. You have to use it, and you have to be unafraid. See, Joshua knew there was something happening in the spiritual. Exercising patience is not doing nothing. Patience is actively preparing to do the right thing at the right time. Wow. We're not lazy. We're not procrastinating. We're being ready to act. And when troubles do come, you're going to need to act. When you do, you have to trust in your preparation. Trust in the word that God put in your spirit in the time of peace. When you're away talking to him, you trust in that. In other words, when the stuff hits the fan, stick to the plan. The next key, God is a God of peace in the middle of a storm. It's a good word for right now. Matthew 8:23-26 says, "Then Jesus got in the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.' Jesus responded, 'Why are you afraid? You have so little faith.' Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm." I think there's some people in Florida right now that need to apply this verse. They need to step up. They need to react out of the word of God, not out of fear, not out of trembling, but out of power, of strength, of faith. You see, they need to find their purpose in the middle of this trial. Same for each one of us. When we face our trial, we have to find our purpose. Where is the greatest need? Where is the most trouble? Where can I be of the most help? And once you find that thing, do something. Don't sit back. You have to react. You have to do something and do whatever it is that God has called you to do. There are times in the middle of a trial where the only response you have is self-preservation, and that's okay. Sometimes there's those moments where we do just need to survive, where we do just need to make it through. But I want to encourage you, in that moment, don't do it alone. Find somebody else to walk with you through the valley, to walk with you through the process. James 1:2-4 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, for the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." This was the verse that got me through the most difficult trial in my life. Just a few months into my first marriage, my wife at the time told me that she didn't feel like we were meant to be together, that she was ready to leave, that she didn't see us having a life together. And this was my darkest hour. But in that time, my dad gave me this simple advice: find joy. And this verse, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It just doesn't make sense in the natural. Like, why should I be joyful in the middle of a divorce? Why should I be joyful when people around me are dying? How can I find joy when there's so much loss, there's so much pain, there's so much hurt? But I would encourage you, if you're in that situation, just find a way. Find a way. In that moment, I cried out to God, and I said, I can't do this on my own. And God heard me, and he answered. He brought joy. And there's a joy that came upon me that was a lasting joy. And it reminded me of that first time I experienced Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It was the same joy then as the same joy that was in my trial. God poured that onto me, and I can't really explain it, but I just turned on worship music, and I began to dance before him by myself. I began to dance undignified. I began to exercise that joy that he had put on my spirit. And that joy has been my sustaining force. That joy has reminded me every time that I come into a trial. That joy has always been there. It'll never leave me. It'll never forsake me. That joy is a defining moment in my life. And that brings me to the final phase of defining moments, the resolution after the moment. God brought joy and peace on me when I realized my marriage was over. But I still had to walk out the process. I still had to take the steps. You see, a moment can sometimes be a process. You know, 9/11, there's still recovery efforts happening from 9/11. Hurricane Harvey, people will be rebuilding for years long after the hurricane and the flooding is gone. The moment can be a process. The most difficult thing for me in the process, which is, I think, the most difficult people for a lot of, the difficult thing for a lot of people in that situation, is that we have to learn to forgive. And this is actually the most important part for full restoration. We have to forgive. After we've forgiven, we have to move on. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We have to have a purpose on our life to give us something to move on to. And we have to look back at the situation. You know, not that it was good, not that it was of God. The death, the destruction, that's not from God. That's from the devil. God's the author of peace. God's the author of hope. God's the author of love. He's not the author of chaos. He's not the author of death. We have to understand that. And we have to move on. We have to look for good in the situation. We have to find that joy. We have to find that hope. We have to find that peace. And an important things to remember when you're looking for that. There's some things that you need to avoid. There's some blockages to resolution. One is locking the problem away. There are some wounds that just can't heal on their own. They'll just sit there, they'll just fester. You actually have to open them up. You have to treat them in the right way so that they can heal properly, so that then you can move on. We have to avoid blame. We can't sit back and just like shout out, why God, why did you do this? Why did this have to happen? We can't start blaming other people. We do need to take a look in the mirror and see if there's something that we did to be a part of the problem. We have to accept that. We have to acknowledge it. We have to move on. Job in the Bible was faced with a situation where he lost practically everything. But in the end, he was restored double because he didn't blame God, because he didn't cast a pointing finger at God. He just accepted that God is good, and somehow, some way, we're going to make it through this. The last blockage, don't isolate yourself. Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desires. He rages against all wise judgment. These are some important things that you need to remember if you're faced with a trial. If you've come through it, you need to remove these blockages to be able to receive the full resolution. Wow. What about situations in our past where we haven't done what we should have? What about situations where we didn't step up to the challenge? What about situations where we missed the chance? We hurt somebody. We caused pain. We lost hope. We sat. We shrank back. We've all had these places of fear. They're called regret. But you have to remember that nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. We've all had these situations. We've all have things in our past that we're not proud of. What if our defining moment is a black mark on our lives? I want to encourage you today, if you find yourself in that situation, if there's things that you're not proud of in your past, if you've not handled a situation that the way that you really wanted to, there is hope. And this is what you have to do. You have to redefine the moment. You have to redefine the moment. Hang on, wait a second. I can't go back in the past. I can't change it. There's no DeLorean. There's no portal. There's no wormhole. There's no hot tub. Sorry, I'm Bill's head. There's no telephone booth that's going to allow you to go back into the past and change what happened. But there is something. There is something that can change the influence that dark moment has on your life. There is something that can take you back to the future and recover that future for Jesus. Recover that future for your life. Not sit in that hole anymore, but stand up and do the next thing right. You know, win the next battle. There is something that's the most powerful restorative force in the universe. Do you want to know what it is? Do you want to know what it is? It's not magic erase, it's amazing grace. Amazing grace. It was grace that restored Peter. Three times he denied knowing Jesus. But after Jesus died and rose up again, Jesus came to him. He came to Simon in the place where he was. And he said, Simon, do you love me? Simon, do you love me? Simon, do you love me? Three times Peter had denied Jesus, but three times Jesus restored Simon. And Peter said, yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. It's not a disaster, not an attack, not a trial, not a divorce, not a loss. The most important defining moment for you, for me, for anyone happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is the chief defining moment because that's what unlocks grace in our lives. That's what unlocks hope. That's what unlocks joy. That is the key to accessing a supernatural power that's greater than the natural, that goes above and beyond what we can do on ourselves. When Jesus comes into our life, it empowers our future. If you've never done this, right now, friend, is your greatest defining moment. Right now is the time where you can access that power, that source of strength. I want to pray with you today. If you could all close your eyes and bow your heads. If you find your place in that situation where you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then today is the day that a joy comes on you like you've never experienced before. Today is the day when you find your purpose in life. Today is the day when you prepare for any eventuality, any trial, anything that might come. Today is that day where you find salvation. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you today, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. So right now, in this moment, if you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to do something very simple for me. I'd like you to raise your hand. Raise your hand right now if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Raise your hand right now. Be brave, be bold. Accept that you need preparation. Accept that you need something that goes beyond yourself. Thank you right there, sir. Thank you. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to lift your hand. Thank you up there in the back. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can go ahead and put your hand down. There's one more group of people that I'd like to pray for. If you find yourself constantly looking back to a situation, if you find yourself having trouble moving past some decisions that you've made in the past, if your defining moment doesn't leave a good taste in your mouth, then today is the day that you move past that. Today is the day that you receive grace like you've never experienced before. Today is the day you redefine that moment. If that's you today, if you need to redefine a moment in your life, I want to pray with you. I believe that God can transform that moment in your heart. I believe that He can shift any blame, any guilt, any sin in your life and accept it on Him, because that's what Jesus did on the cross. He took it all our sins, all our faults, all our failures, from before we were born to well after we're gone. He's taken it all. He's received it so that we can live a life more abundantly. So we have that hope. We have that future. If you need to redefine a moment in your life, right now I just want you to stand up. Stand up and we'll pray together that that moment is redefined. Stand up and believe that Jesus Christ is greater than any of those faults, is greater than any of those flaws, is greater than that situation. Just stand up right now and I want to pray with you and believe that we have moved past, that we have gone beyond that trial, we've gone beyond that struggle, that God is the God of our lives. He is bringing us that hope. He is bringing us that future. He has redefined that situation. And we believe that God will lead us in all our lives for the rest of our lives to have that hope restored, to have that truth deposited on our spirit, that we are a child of God, that we are His children, that He is moving right now to restore us, to redeem us, because He loves us so much. If everybody would just stand right now, we're going to pray as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your grace, that it's sufficient. In each of these lives, I thank You that You're moving in a new, a powerful, and a mighty way. God, I thank You that You have redefined all our bad moments, God, that You have taken away those dark marks in our lives, God, that we expose light into those situations, because where light exists, darkness cannot. I thank You for these amazing people here today, God. I thank You that You have covered us, that You are leading us in the future, God, that our defining moments, we won't see the black marks. All we'll see is Your face and Your grace. Throughout the course of our lives, God, we give it to You. And right now, if you are one of those people who accepted Jesus for the first time, I want to lead you in a prayer. And the whole audience here is going to respond. We're all going to agree. So I want you to say this. Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your forgiveness. I thank You that You have led me to salvation. You've taken away my sins and replaced them with strength. You've taken away my lack and replaced it with abundance. And right now, I give my life to You. I thank You that You are my Lord and Savior. I thank You that You are my hope. I thank You that You are my future. And it's in Your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, church. It's been an amazing morning. I thank you for the power that you have brought into this building. Now I want you to take that power. I want you to take your defining moments, and I want you to go out into the world, and I want you to do the same. I want you to act. I want you to prepare. I want you to react, and then I want you to resolve all of those issues that pop up. Be the heroes. Be the salvation. Be the hope for people in your world. You're amazing, 8:30 service. I love you, C3 San Diego. Go out and bless somebody. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.